Hello.
Where are you? Everybody's already here.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This. No, I don't know. Melrose Place. It's for the new season. Season 2, Episode 1, Much Ado About Everything. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
I don't want everyone to expect that just because it's Season 2, it's going to be twice the drama for every intro, because Dave will forget immediately, even though we're recording the next episode right after this. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Before we get into the new season, I have an update on our Patreon. As of this recording, which is we are doing, I guess, 3 days before, well, 4 days before it drops, we are $2 away from hitting our next goal, which would mean we would be delivering you an bonus Patreon episode of this podcast every other week instead of every 4 weeks. So if you have an extra couple of bucks, literally, and have not joined our Patreon yet, now is the time. And we know these are hard times for everybody, but you know, it's only once a month. It could help everyone. It's a little bit for one person, but it benefits everyone in the group. Dave, what did you have to add?
$2 for season two. Put that mass money towards Again With This. No, buy masks first.
Yes, buy a mask. Then if you have any money left over, go to patreon.com/againwiththis and join the Patreon, and we will be able to bring you, as I said, a bonus episode every other week instead of every 4 weeks. Now, that said, we are about to record our next bonus episode, which will drop 1 week from this Friday. And our topic, oh boy, it was my pick. So for Again With This, episode 7, I made us watch Doug Savant on the revival of MacGyver. So if you want to prepare for this experience by watching the episode that we watched, it's season 3, episode 11. The title of the episode is Mac plus Fallout plus Jack. It's on CBS All Access. And I know what you're thinking. I can't add another platform. I hear you. CBS is offering a free trial, 30 days for free. And, you know, they have The Good Fight. It's about to come back for season 4. So, you know, now's a pretty good time.
Sign up and then you can not watch Picard.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah,
that would be a good use of not spending your time. Anything to add, Sarah, before we get into Much Ado About Everything?
No, that's about it. Except, the new MacGyver, still on.
Yeah, it's in season 4.
Yeah, what? Okay, CBS.
Let us embark upon season 2 by starting with our B plot. The Mancinis commence their divorce. Excitingly, before we even get to that, Heather Locklear, she's in the opening credits. She's still a special guest star, but, you know, she will be until the end. God bless her. You can see this in GIF form in our visual aids. So Matt is helping Jane just throw loose clothes into the back of her car, even though she's staying in the apartment. Where are these clothes going? Whatever. This is what's happening when Michael and his new, still not great, but much improved haircut, which you can also see in the visual aids, screech up. He gets out, furiously ranting that she had him served with divorce papers, as we hear in clip 2.
I told you I was getting a divorce. Now, I made that clear to both you and Kimberly, so don't make this seem like it's coming out of the blue.
Come on, you could have called. You could have warned me.
What's the point? My mind is made up, and so was yours the minute you went to bed with Kimberly.
I'll just wait back here.
Okay. I only clipped the fight parts as a lead up to Matt reminding us that he was still present in the scene. So good. I'll just wait back here.
And on the show.
Seriously. Yeah. Anyway, Michael goes on to shade Jane's lawyer. She lets us know that she's pursuing a no-fault divorce. He only has to sign the papers and they'll split everything 50-50. And he complains about her claims of mental cruelty, which she calls a formality. But he angrily states that he's not signing anything. And as she gets in the driver's seat of her car, he leans in and wags his finger at her. And after she's pulled away, Matt tries to calm Michael down by saying he knows what Michael's going through. And Michael lets us know his heel turn is complete in clip 3.
I lost everything when she threw me out. I lost my apartment and all my friends. And in case you haven't noticed, everyone's taken her side.
Maybe because she's the one who got hurt.
Matt, I'm not really in the mood for one of your sanctimonious lectures. So why don't you save it for the disadvantaged masses or whoever it is you work with?
The hangdog's disappointed face that Matt makes at this is glorious. You can see that in the visual aids too. But I love how much the Brooklyn comes out when Thomas Calabro is playing Mad. It's really delicious. Man,
yeah, there's some amazing stills from that rant. Mm-hmm. Heel turn Bray that you will see in the visual aids.
Yeah, you can almost see the spit flying. It's impressive.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So Matt is like, bye, and starts to get in his car when Michael seems to realize he may have gone too far and stops Matt to apologize, but Matt doesn't want to hear it. So then Michael meets Kimberly at a beach house that is possibly both the one that Keith was renting last season and also the one where Gil lived on 90210. I did not go to research this, but it looks like it could be. Kimberly is not playing it cool with the realtor and clearly wants this place bad, talking about seeing a perfect sunset every night. Like, won't you be at work? We keep hearing about how overworked you are as young doctors, whatever. But she pulls Michael inside to keep selling him on the place, but he's so subdued that she assumes he hates it. So he has to tell her he's preoccupied and tells her about the divorce papers, which for some reason he like has in his hand. He brought them in from the car. And she reminds him that he had said he wanted the divorce to be painless and cheap, but he's fixated on how sudden it all was. And she reframes the situation. The papers are an end to something that wasn't working, whereas the house is a new beginning, and then he's on board, or so he says, slash, for now. And that night, Jane is floating around in the pool while Joe and Amanda sit next to it eating Chinese food and telling her she is being too easy on Michael. I love this energy of the three of them just being pals. I know it's only not going to last, but still, it's nice.
Yeah, I especially like the Chinese food. They're like, we can't be bothered to put on bathing suits, but we'll just sit here and watch you swim. Yeah.
Totally. Amanda thinks that Jane should sue Michael for future earnings, but Jane says that's not what this is about. She just wants out of the marriage. She needs to heal her own hurt by making him hurt. Amanda knows a good lawyer who will clean Michael out. I'm paraphrasing. And Allison comes home just then. Amanda asks her to join them, but too bad, she has too much work to do. This will also be a theme in her storyline, which we'll get to. And out at dinner another night with the ladies, Jane talks about living on her own for the first time in her life. Joe thinks it'll be good for her. Jane just hates having to split recipes in half, which, you know what, relatable. And then they all glance up and see that Michael and Kimberly have just come in to the same restaurant. Kimberly notices the table of ladies at the same time and suggests that she and Michael go somewhere else. But Michael defiantly says that Jane is the one pushing for the divorce and needs to get used to the idea of him getting on with his life. And at the ladies' table, Jane also wants to use this dinner to make a point, but before long gets up to go catch her breath in the bathroom, by which I mean slam into a stall and barf. And the next day, she shows up in the doctor's lounge looking fab in a very bodycon revenge dress you can see in the visual aids. And even though Michael is mid-anecdote, all the other doctors peace out as soon as they see her. She knew how pissed off he was when she had the divorce paper sent over before, so she wanted to deliver these personally. Since he rejected the quick and simple divorce, now it's going to be down and dirty, assisted by a ruthless lawyer that Amanda recommended. And she is going after his future earnings. She will see him in court. And as I had predicted, Michael did miss their first sunset, but comes home to a fire roaring and Kimberly in lingerie in front of it with champagne. This whole seduction scene is so like nighttime soap. To a tea, the negligee, there's like a plate of fruit and cheese behind her. It's very like straight out of the playbook. I mean, it's in the visual aids because I loved it so much. She is all excited about their relationship progressing, but he cools things down in clip four.
Just can't get out.
I don't understand.
The hospital, the people around here, nobody can know we're living together. If anybody asks, you're just visiting. And I'm sorry, but everything that's yours, your clothes, even your car, we're going to have to keep them out of sight.
Michael, what is this?
Jane, she changed the rules. She got this new attorney, and she's going after my future earnings.
Why? Why? Because we ended up at the same restaurant?
I don't know. She lost her mind. Hell hath no fury and all that crap. Anyway, It's going to cost me everything I got just to fight it. I talk to an attorney. Every deposition, every conversation is another $1,000. What I'm trying to say, Kimberly, is I'm not going to be able to afford my half of the rent, at least for a while.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay?
I mean, okay. I mean, I'll cover the rent. I'll lay low. I'll do whatever you want.
Kimberly, that's so unfair. I can't let you.
Michael, it doesn't matter. I love you. I don't care what it costs.
Red flags.
How good is this asshole in bed? Like, I would really love
to. Yeah. That was going to be my next comment. Like, how dickmatized are you, intern salary? Holy shit.
Honestly. Anyway, speaking of which, they go out to the patio and start fucking on a lounge chair. And that is the end of this plot line for this week. On to the A plot. Rhonda's out, Amanda's in and focused on Jake, and Keith is still fucking with Allison. Amanda's extremely 90s housewarming party is happening all over the courtyard as Billy calls Allison, who's toiling alone at work, and tells her she's missing it. Apparently, the reason is that Amanda buried her with work that is due the next day. So it's your classic work night party we all love. So practical. Anyway, Allison eeyores that she'll be there whenever she's done and hangs up to pout. And her desk phone rings again immediately, so she makes the obvious assumption. Clip 5.
Billy, I'm not kidding. I've got to get this done. Billy?
Bitch! I know where you are.
So, it starts ringing again. She goes tearing through the office. I mean, it's clear. You can tell. He's barely disguising his voice. It's clearly no. Keith.
Yeah, it's clearly Keith. Also, isn't your next call, like, to the cops?
Right.
Like, I don't feel like I would leave the office. Like, get your back to a corner and call the police.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But she doesn't.
Not to Keith victim blame, but really.
Right. Instead, she runs to the elevator. Though, I guess if this guy knows where she is, the stairwell isn't necessarily safer. Phone is continuing to ring behind her, and she's standing there waiting for the elevator to come when she sees a shadow looming and then runs for the stairs, in the process forgetting how doors work, but it's just Keith. Phew. She breathlessly tells him that the sicko called again and she thought he was in the building. It's like he's watching her, but she's so relieved it was Keith. Get it. So at the party, Billy is suspicious that Amanda apparently knows a million people, though she airily admits some are total strangers, and then gets him to dance with her, which he is even worse at than Jason Priestley. I made a gif. Like, his body just does not work. I know he's a soccer player, but it's like he just does not move the upper part of his body at all. I can't describe what is happening, except it's horrible. You have to see this gif. It's brutal.
Yeah. Also, his hair turned into a complete disaster in however long it, like, transpired between
right.
the seasons. Like, it was bad. He got a decent haircut at the end of season one, and now it's like, I don't even know what to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. Like, actually, everyone's looks kind of like shit, except Amanda's. And Matt's is still okay, thank God.
Matt's is okay. I do think Michael's is an improvement. It's still bad, but it's not as bad as before, because he had the, like, sort of, like, long, you know, mid-80s, like, drape
the
on
Joel
the back.
Joel Fleischman, yeah.
Yes, the Joel Fleischman, exactly.
It's the Fleischman.
But not anymore. Now it's like, it's because he does have, like, sort of curly Italian, like, brushy hair. So
yeah.
There's only so much you can do with it. And I think they've done okay, like, kind of controlling it into a shorter style. It's still not something we would call acceptable now, but it's better.
it's going to get worse. Like, it's definitely one of those, like, the 90s are one of those times where, like, you know, a lot of people are trying to do things with their hair that nobody should be doing. Mm-hmm. But then regardless of, like, face shape, like, there were versions of the Rachel for men that it was like, that's not for your skull.
Oh, yeah.
Bro. I think he does have a Caesar at one point. Buckle up.
Yeah. Jake's is like edging toward Rachel for men almost.
It's edging towards Rachel for women. It's long. Still would.
Anyway, enough hair talk. From the second floor railing, Joe and Jane, actually Jane's hair looks good too. It's still growing out, but it's growing out well. She's in yet another roughly thing, however. So they're watching Jake swaying with some broad and short shorts, and they opine about it in a way we don't really talk about women anymore. Madams. Clip six.
What do you call a woman like that? She's too young to be a tramp. A bimbo? Bimbette?
How about whore? It's been a rough week. Anyway, I thought you guys agreed to date other people.
Yeah, but usually there's a period of adjustment, a week or two at least.
Listen, Joe, you are better off on your own.
I don't know. All he did was ask me to move in with him.
Mm-hmm. And you bailed out before things got too ugly. And just like it did with Michael and me. A person can get so blinded by that initial infatuation.
But with every other aspect of my life, I take chances. With my photography, with my friends, my career, and with relationships, I play it so safe. What is that?
Good thinking, that's what it is. You're a free woman again, Joe. Come on, full speed ahead, no looking back.
Okay, couple of things. One, Jake is not Michael. And two, do not take relationship advice from someone whose divorce is 3 minutes old, perhaps.
Yeah.
Which, you know, she doesn't.
Yeah.
So then Allison and Keith show up and Amanda pretends she doesn't know why Allison is so late, but then says she's sorry to pile work on before the weekend. Like, does she make Allison turn shit in on Saturdays? Like, she's so mean. Anyway, Billy pulls Allison away to push his luck in a way that someone who recently impregnated another woman really shouldn't. Clip seven.
Well, I don't sound like a jerk, but who invited Keith?
I did. I swear, he'll be leaving for Seattle anytime, no more than a week. He's just worried about me with the calls. And I got another one tonight at work.
You shouldn't have been there alone. Would you? You know, we really have to talk about this.
I'm okay. Keith showed up and it all worked out.
What's the deal? Have you told him, you know, that we're a couple?
I'm working up to it. Well, what about Amanda? She certainly doesn't seem to be getting the message either.
Okay, then we'll tell them both tonight, all right? After the party, we'll set the record straight, both of us.
Right after the party.
I wasn't sure you two were still a couple, so this is new information for a lot of people.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. Why not just do it now?
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of questionable couples, Joe finds Jake to ask if the plan is for them to ignore each other all night. Jake says he's just trying to have fun. Joe claims she hadn't noticed, then says she wanted to take a walk. And then Amanda finds Billy to draft him to help her clean up, especially her place. So Joe and Jake take a walk on Melrose together and discuss their breakup. She thinks they're bad at being broken up, which he thinks is strange given how much practice they have, which when did they break up before? I don't know what he means by that. Like, if he means in their lives, she was married. I don't get this line at all. Sorry.
Well, I sort of felt like there was a period in season one where it was like every episode she was showing up at his apartment with a giant box of Chinese food and apologizing for being skittish because of previous relationships. So I assumed it was a reference to that. But
okay. All right, I guess. So
or
Joe
they're
hints
just
around.
Trying to rewrite history for people who didn't watch season one. I don't know.
Fair. Joe hints around that she wants to get back together, but Jake hasn't changed his mind. He needs a commitment, and suddenly Joe agrees and wants to move in with him, and he grabs her face and kisses her, and it's cute until we see they're still in the middle of a crosswalk blocking traffic. It's still even a little cute after we see that, I have to admit. I root for these two. I hate it, but I root for them.
Yeah. I mean, I just wish they'd let her hair alone.
Yes.
She's growing it out. It's not as good. But yeah, they're cute. And mm-hmm. like that everyone, it's LA, so everyone's like, and they're like, whatever. I don't know. It was like for this show, it was sort of sweet.
Mm-hmm. It's true. After the party, Billy is moving speakers when he sees Allison and Keith alone in their apartment. Allison, drunk as hell after all the vodka tonics, she says, snuck up on her. But instead of following his instincts, Billy lets Amanda call him away, and Keith closes the door and pours Allison another vodka, but she declines it, murmuring about what her life is going to be like now that she has no escape from Amanda, just a sealing away. And as Allison seems to pass out, Keith creepily fondles her face. Ugh. And a sealing away, Billy helps Amanda move furniture, like, is now the time? And also, just a note on Rhonda, we mentioned her in the intro to this thing. She's not in this episode at all, or really barely even mentioned. And presumably yeah. we're supposed to think that Amanda just moved into her unit. And we know she was in a second floor place, but it was established that Rhonda moved into the studio when Joe showed up because Joe wanted a bigger place. And Rhonda had been mm-hmm. in the two bedroom place with, what's her face? Sandy. Like, we're supposed to think Amanda moved into a studio? I doubt it. Why do I care?
I feel like a scene might have gotten cut that originally aired because there is, like, I distinctly remember that at the end of season one, there's like a big pool party where it's like, everything's going to work out with the complex. Yay. And then here's why I remember it. Vanessa Williams, the other one,
yeah.
Had song over the end of it that was actually the B-side to Sometimes the Snow Comes Down in June, that like big single that she had.
Yeah.
Called it, the B-side was called Get Free. Mm-hmm. It was playing over this pool party. It was not in the finale. And I feel like some things maybe were explained in that scene that and they just cut it because you can't cross the Vanessa Williams streams anymore, I guess. I don't know.
Interesting. That's good intel. All right.
If anyone else remembers this, at AWT90210, let us know on Twitter.
Yeah, please. So Billy bravely screws up his courage and with his voice only trembling a little, tells Amanda the bad news about her access to his dick. Clip 8.
Since you're going to be moving in now and we're going to be living in such close proximity, I think you should know that Allison and I are together. I mean, really together. If that makes any sense.
I'll read between the lines.
And I know that, you know, since my accident and your pregnancy, and what happened, that, you know, we've been close or closer. And what I'm trying to say is...
You love Allison. Exclusively.
Yes, I love Allison. And I just wanted to be upfront about that so you and I could stay friends.
Look, Billy, this isn't exactly a huge revelation. I mean, true, I was slow to get the message at first, but I've got it now.
Cool. So, the two of us, you and I, being friends?
I hate it. But what's a girl to do? You and Allison have my blessing.
Oh my God. Okay, first of all, writers, that's not what read between the lines means. She didn't have to do that. He said the lines.
He did. He really did.
But also, it's fucking Billy.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. I mean,
like, Locklear is almost selling it, but oh my God, he is such a derp.
Yeah.
It's like, why, girl? Why? Like, Jake, I get it. Mm-hmm. Him? No.
Yeah. Black Monday, the Showtime show, which I love. If you're not watching it and you have Showtime, you should, has gotten a lot more meta in season two. And so they've had characters say things like, you know, last season they had a falling out last season. Autumn. Where I feel like this comes just short of that, where it's like, well, you know, it's a new season in our lives. Like, clearly that's what's happening now, where it's like, all right, we've cashed out Billy and Allison. Now we have to, you know, or I mean, Billy and Amanda, we have to do something else. Whatever. I feel like the relief radiating off Heather Locklear that she no longer has to pretend to care about this turd, at least for now, is obvious.
Yeah.
Downstairs, Keith lays Allison on her bed, closes the door, and unzips her dress to show us all that she apparently goes to work without wearing a brassiere. And then hears that Billy has come back and is calling Allison's name, and Keith panics to get her done back up before Billy comes in. But Billy is still pretty alarmed by the scene he walks in on, even as Keith sweatily claims he was just tucking her in. And Billy sternly says he can handle it from there and dismisses Keith. The next day, Joe gets up to find Jake already assembling boxes in the apartment. He thinks they will only need 12. Like, I know she hasn't lived there long, but what? And they have a mild fight about whose place they're going to live in. But, you know, eventually she convinces him. She does a bit with a coin where she calls tails and says that he lost without showing him. But, you know, whatever. He lets her win. Out for dinner that night at a fancy restaurant, it is very clear that Allison got too drunk the night before to remember to tell Keith that she and Billy are together, because she's there with Keith now as he muses about who her stalker might be. He thinks someone from work and volunteers to do some discreet poking around to find the culprit. And she tells him not to because she's taken up too much of his time already, not because, for instance, it is not his business, and then finally takes 4,000 words to dance around telling him about her and Billy. And that Keith being around again makes it difficult. And Keith surmises that he and Allison can only be friends. And then she takes 5,000 words to say yes, that's what she wants, if it's okay with him. And he claims he had figured out how things were with her and Billy and was planning on heading out as soon as he knew that she was okay, which she says she is. And then he admits that he's disappointed. And Allison tenses up as he takes her hand. He says he would do anything for her, Billy or no Billy. Ugh. So Allison gets home from this dinner to sexy candlelight and Billy ready to get down to sexy business with basically no preamble, despite where they left things the last time we saw them talk testily. But whatever, Allison isn't drunk this time and is into it, but is still her. Clip 9.
Sheets clean?
Yeah, you washed them yesterday.
What?
Their canoodling is so painful. So painful.
Let him wash his own sheets. He's an adult. Anyway.
Yeah. Also, it's like watching Grape Ape make out with a bowl of oatmeal. It's so terrible.
Yeah, he's not unattractive, but his body is so strange. Like, he's so triangular. It's true.
Well, and he just has two expressions.
Yeah.
When he's trying to make one of them into sexy times, it's like, it's just embarrassing for everyone.
Oh. Anyway, Allison is down to her matching underwear, of course. It's TV. They are getting down to it when the phone rings. As they ignore it, we see that it's Keith calling, of course. And apparently he's moved out of the honeymoon suite at the Bellage, judging by the state of his very average room and sub-queen bed, as you can see the visual aids. So he hangs up and starts angrily pacing. He picks up the black and white framed studio portrait of himself and Allison that he somehow has, sets it back down, and then smashes his head on the corner of the precious TV, and then looks at his bleeding head in the mirror and starts laughing and then grimacing. And it's all very Lifetime movie. Obviously, I made a GIF, which you see in the visual aids. This is really careening off a cliff. But yeah, oh, Keith.
He commits, though. Like, it is entertaining. Like, nothing about the way this character is written and how stalkers tend to think and talk about their stalkies. None of it really works.
No.
But this actor is like, well, scenery, my favorite. Dumps a bunch of ketchup on it and he's off to the races.
Yeah, he's game.
Bless his heart.
I give him credit for that for sure. The next day, Keith is once again parked out front when Billy takes the garbage out in the morning and then goes, there's truly no better word to describe what he is doing than prancing down the street. I don't mean to keep ripping on Andrew Chu in this episode, but he moves like a Muppet. His walk is so weird. He's like, he's like a marionette. Like he really looks like his shoulders are being moved from above. Obviously, I gif this. I think I put the gif in our Twitter feed like last week when I made it because it was so strange.
His arms go up so high. Isn't this the whole reason that we have
at the end of the
because he's that little wooden guy on the stick, yes. And he's just like, and then his arms are just flailing around. It's like, are you trying to swim?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Oh, limber legs when walking. That's Andrew Hsu.
Because as he's acting.
Yes.
And not actually talking.
Yes.
His mind's just, what do I do with my head? What do
I do with my head? You're probably right.
But he needs to be the guy that always is drinking coffee, yep. Or holding mm-hmm. flowers. I mean, that's how yes. they around it. But they didn't realize that, though, so he got mother.
Well, and then one hand is holding a briefcase, so it's like all the kinesis transferred into the other arm, which is flailing around like that, you know, blow up guy outside the car wash.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's one of those moments where, like, if I had been looking away to take a note, I would have missed it. And I'm just so glad that my eyes happened to be on the screen at that moment. It really, truly was
bonkers.
Kismet. Anyway, Allison is hurrying to get out herself when she opens the door, and Keith is there with a huge bandage on his head. And of course, she is freaked out and tells him to sit down, and he spins a yarn about what happened in clip 10.
I was leaving the hotel last night to pick up my plane ticket home. Anyway, they have one of these covered parking lots. This guy came out of nowhere and hit me with a tire iron. Same thing he hit Billy with.
Same guy?
Yeah, the police think so.
Yeah, the police would tell you that.
Sure.
Sure.
He also has a black eye, which we didn't see him hit himself in the eye, but okay. So he told the cops he would bring Allison down to fill out forms, which, why? She was not a witness. She has not seen her stalker in person that she knows of. So Allison goes and meets a detective who PSAs about cops understanding what stalking is now and taking it seriously. They're going to start tracing incoming calls and have cops in the area roll by the apartment to check on Allison more often. She protests that she's trying to keep the whole thing private, so he promises to be discreet. And outside afterwards, Allison's about to go to work late when Keith stops short and starts wincing about his sore head, and she insists on taking him back to his hotel. And that night, Joe's dismayed by how much stuff Jake has brought into her place and thus far not put away. They have an argument about all of his stuff and why he can or cannot just leave his surfboard in the corner behind the front door like he did in his old place, blah, blah, blah. Couple fight, blah, blah, boring, blah, blah. Then Allison's getting home to a frantic Billy who didn't know where she was and heard from the office that she had called in sick and he couldn't just text her because it was the past. And then she breaks the news about Keith in clip 11.
Someone attacked him.
What?
Most believable line reading yet.
I love that line reading.
What? So good.
Like, occasionally, it's such a clock, stop clock, right twice a day. Like, he did not know what he was doing and accidentally landed on the exact right tone. So good. Yeah. Anyway, Billy is extremely dubious that the same guy came after both himself and Keith. And when Allison brings up the detail about the common weapon, tire iron, Billy wants to know how anyone knew that's what hit him, never mind Keith. And Allison just blows past that and says the cops are confident they will catch the assailant. And then Joe and Jane come to get Allison for their dinner out with Amanda. And Allison whines that she forgot and doesn't think she can go. And Billy tells her to go and she changes her mind and agrees. Jane asks if he has plans tonight, and he vaguely says he has some business, no big deal. And his business is to go see Keith in his hotel room. Keith asks where Allison is. Passive aggresses that she's not supposed to be left alone, and Billy then tries to play Columbo in clip 12.
So, heard you got hit by the same guy I did.
Apparently.
Well, going to the police, that was a good idea. You got hit from the front, I got hit from behind. Same tire iron. That's weird. No, the police never knew what hit me.
Is that right?
Yeah, a blunt object. That's as specific as they ever got. Never said anything about a tire iron.
Guess I just assumed. Billy, is there some point you're trying to make? Because no. If there is, I'd really like to know what it is.
Look, I just stopped by out of concern to see how you're doing.
I'm fine.
So I see. All right. Well, if I don't see you before you go back to Seattle, take care. I'll see you.
I don't get it. JK, I get it. Creepy now, violence. Totally get it.
Yeah. If you're Billy and you suspect Keith, like, why would you go and then let him know that you're on to him? That's what I don't get.
Yeah.
Anyway. Because here's what happens next. Keith is the next day with some guy we don't know, but who is obviously up to no good because he has a ponytail. And Keith very showily hands him some cash and tells him 8 o'clock exactly, you know what to do. And then that night, Joe and Jake are having a silent dinner. Jake is choking it down with pretty bad table manners under Joe's judgmental eye. But it's not the etiquette that bothers her. It's a lack of conversation. She's all worried that they've already run out of things to talk about, but he just says his mouth was full. She needs to relax. As she is relaxing, the phone rings. He tells her not to get it, but she says it could be work, but it's not. It's Amanda wanting Jake to come over to her place and help her with an emergency. So he goes, and Joe wisely goes with him. What she needs is someone to lift her TV onto the TV stand, which he does. And Amanda calls him a handy guy to have around, and Joe agrees that he is, shooting Amanda a very justified sidelong look of suspicion. So watch this space.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's time for us all to learn more about this brand new crime, stalking, in clip 13.
You're never going to believe this. I just spent the whole day on the computer at work researching every documented stalker case that I could find. And the same thing popped up over and over again in every case. Rejection. All these stalkers feel like they were wrongfully rejected, all right? And it's usually the object of their obsession.
Okay, so?
So the stalker feels like he sacrificed something for his victim, all right? So he wants revenge, wants her to be needy, wants her to be helpless. He thinks that everything he does is somehow going to make her come back to him.
If you could just skip to the bottom line.
Keith! The bottom line is Keith! He's the one that's doing all this, Allison. The calls, the deliveries... It's his sick way of trying to worm himself back into your life.
Billy, that is ridiculous.
No, it's not.
This also is really good. Like, yes. I think he was just trying to keep all the lines and information in the PSA straight,
mm-hmm.
which is why, A, I don't know if he's supposed to be from Long Beach or Long Branch, but that was some Jersey shit right there, and I'm not here for it. But second of all, he's just like... This is exactly how you or I would semi-shout at a loved one who's mm-hmm. being an idiot about being stalked.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, stalked.
Stalked. So there's a knock on the door. Of course, it is Keith. Allison tells him it's a bad time. He asks why, and she tries to dodge, but Billy defiantly spits that he just told Allison why he thinks that Keith is her stalker. Billy also found out that Keith arrived a week earlier than he had told Allison, right around the time she started getting the creepy phone calls. Keith doesn't exactly help himself by violently advancing on Billy, but Billy doesn't back down in our final clip.
I can't believe this. Who the hell do you think you are accusing me of something like this?
Go ahead, try and explain it. Start with the tire iron.
I already did last night. It was a logical
assumption. Wait a second. You guys talked last night?
Yes, I went to his hotel. I asked him questions.
He barges in like Dirty Harry.
Billy, my God!
Ask him. Ask him why he lied about his arrival.
Yes, I lied. I did arrive a week earlier. My company flew me down here, and that's how long it took. A week to work up my nerve to see you again. I was scared how you might react. I didn't want to interfere.
Yeah, and that's all you've been doing since the moment you got here.
Billy, stop it! Now!
Go ahead, answer. I know who it's not.
Hello?
I'll kill them all. Anyone who gets in our way.
Fuck!
You're mine, bitch.
Any other theories, Billy?
I mean...
It's Robert Durst?
Yeah. So... Allison ends up cowering in Keith's arms while Billy looks like an idiot, and then she walks Keith out while Billy watches them go and fumes, and that's where we leave it for this week. shall we name our episode MVP?
Sure.
Sarah, your pick.
Billy?
I mean,
what? It's good shit. Billy. I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah.
Also, everybody else is kind of annoying. So, Billy.
Yeah, Billy is right. He actually did research. He's doing his best to forcefully make his case. He's doing what he should. And yet, I'm going to go off what you said earlier and give it to William R. Moses, who portrays Keith, for committing 5,000% and helping this show take its full turn into soapiness and out of the, like, 20-something boring issue plots of season one. Bless you, sir.
Fair enough.
Least valuable player.
What?
Yay! I'm going to say Michael. He's really a shithead.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to find a way to formally, with the force of law, shade Matt for driving in his Zuzu Trooper. But that seems unfair. So, yeah, Michael.
Yeah. I mean, shitty and now skipping out on the rent. Double shit.
Yeah. Next time on Again With This, Amanda sets her sights on Jake, Sydney sets her sights on Michael, and LAPD finally sets its sights on Keith. Pull that mask up over your eyes before you set your sights on our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. They are on our website at againwiththispodcast.com, where you can also pre-order a very special Beverly Hills 90210 book. Woo! Not a bit. You can also follow us on Twitter at AWT90210, and you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/againwiththis, where any level of support gets you extra episodes. I'm Hilarious Stack of Compact Discs, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is prank call accomplice Tara Ariano. She is on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is least romantic font David T. Cole. Talk to you next time. Bing it, ding, ding, dong.